You have your Bibles, if you turn to John chapter 17. John's in the New Testament, if you're new to church. It's in the second half, I guess, of the Bible. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Look at the 17th chapter. This is a long prayer. I wouldn't say a long prayer, but a prayer that Jesus prays. And we're going to pick it up midway through. He's been praying for the disciples. And we're going to pick it up in verse 20 because he's going to pray for someone else. This is God's holy word. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's God's word. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom, grace, and mercy as we look at your word. In Christ's name, amen. This is a series that we've been doing. It's called Since You Asked. It's where you guys put questions somewhere, I think in a box somewhere, and we collected the questions in that box, and we threw out all the ones that we didn't know the answer to, and then the rest of them, we're preaching on those to make us look smart. That's the whole goal. The pastoral staff that know all the answers. No, a lot of questions were asked. We're probably going to bring this back. Is this the last one for this time, and then we're going to bring it back? Yeah, we're going to bring this back because y'all ask such good questions, we can't get to them all. But tonight, I should say, we're going to look at the question, why are there denominations? Or why are there so many of them? Or why do we have them? Or is it good that we have them? Is it bad that we have them? Is it sinful? Is this prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17 not come true because we have so many denominations? Why are there so many denominations if Jesus prayed for us to be one? That's the question we're going to ask. Y'all might not know this, but I'm an outsider in Montgomery. I've been here 6 years. Some of you have tomato plants that are older than my time in Montgomery. I haven't been here very long. And that's a bad thing and a good thing. It's a bad thing because, I'm still kind of learning how. You wouldn't think Mississippi and Alabama would be so different, but I'm still kind of learning all the things. And one thing that struck me when I moved here, I'm going to go ahead and warn you, this is going to make you uncomfortable, so just get ready to squirm a little bit. One thing that struck me when I moved here was the importance that the importance that people placed on how they educated their children. Now, when in Mississippi, people are like that too. But for whatever reason, when I got here, I was just blown away by it. And it wasn't so much, homeschool, public school, private school, Christian school, all that kind of stuff. It's just there's so many of them here. I'd never been to a city where there were so many schools. Not to mention, there's just so many. And what I was blown away by dealing with the students was how everyone had pigeonholed everyone who went to the schools. So if you went to this school, you were like this. And if you went to this school, you were like this. And the people who go to this school are like this. And the people who go to that school, oh, they do this. And I kept looking around and I was like, are y'all seeing the same thing I'm seeing? Everyone is so quiet right now because they're like, what is he going to say? Because I looked around and I was like, they all look the same to me. It's like all their uniforms are, you know, some combination of blue, red, and yellow, and white, you know, like, as, but, you know, we have a ton of schools represented here just in the youth group. I wrote them down just to make sure that I name-checked everybody: ACA, BTW, Catholic, Cornerstone, Eastwood, Homeschool, LAMP, Lee, MA, St. James and Trinity, Prattville, PCA, Success Unlimited. That's in alphabetical order, by the way. I thought that was the only way I could do it and not get in trouble. And I kept looking around, and I was like, I don't see any difference between these people. I even went to one game where the two teams had some combination of red and blues or color, and I didn't know the mascots, and I wasn't sure who was on what team. I was like, now does the home team wear white, or is the, I was confused. And yet I was told, oh, there are some major differences. No, people who go here are like this and people who go here are like that. And it just goes to show you that even though all these people have so much in common, We will pick nits. We're so good at it. And Montgomery is certainly no different from anywhere else in that regard. I just wrote down, I mean, most of the students that we have in our youth group, and I just listed all the schools that they go to. You know, most of them are middle to upper class. They're predominantly Caucasian. They're overwhelmingly Protestant. Most of the students I meet, they all live in the same country, in the same state, and in the same city within that. Saying, they all like Nancy's Italian Ice. They all like Kaneka sausage for some reason. Is it like, get over it. It's not, it's fine, but let's just, okay. And so frustratingly, they all either cheer for Alabama or for Auburn. I know that's a tough week to bring that up. It's that whole Alabama-Auburn thing is so frustrating that I've even become friends with the Ole Miss people because we just look at each other like, these people are crazy. All that to say is that I just looked at the youth group and I looked at the students that I met and their friends, and I was like, they all seem like high school kids to me. I can't tell a big difference. And I'll just tell you the truth right now, and we'll just put this school thing to bed. You name me a school, and I'll be able to name you five people from that school who really showed out and were example for that school. And I'll also be able to name five students who drove it right into the ditch. That's a myth. Okay? But it's so important that we have that in the front of our minds, this idea that we can be so similar and yet so think that we are so different when we talk about denominations. Because everything that I just said about how people educate their children is true about what kind of church you worship too. You know, there are a lot of different denominations. And what I want to talk about tonight is I want to talk about how we're the same, and then I want to talk about how we're different and why that's important and why it's not, or what about that is important and what about it is maybe not as important. You might have noticed in your bulletin, I always ask if I can print stuff, and Stephanie sometimes is so nice. You might have noticed in your bulletin that I printed a bullseye. This is not a Target ad. Actually, I told her to Google image search a Target, and all we got was Target logos to start out. And I was like, no, we better not do that. We have more rings. So I want you to have this in your mind tonight. It's right there in front of you. Because what we're going to talk about tonight, when we talk about denominations, is we're going to talk about what we believe. And I want you to imagine this. In the bullseye, we're going to talk about what's in the bullseye. And what's in the bullseye is non-negotiable. Okay? I don't care if you're Methodist or what, or Baptist or Presbyterian or non-denominational, even though I would say that that is like a unicorn. They don't really exist. Like, if you're non-denominational, you just have your own denomination. That's what it is. Anyway, it's just, that's silly. But, all I have to say is, denomination of one, is that no matter what it is, no matter what you are, these things that are in the center right here in the bullseye, those things are non-negotiable. What's in the bullseye, if you don't believe that, then you're not a Christian, all right? I don't care where you spend your Sunday mornings, all right, or wherever. If you don't believe what's in the bullseye, so let's talk about what's in the bullseye first, because that was matters. And then we'll talk about what's in those rings. Because I think what we're going to see as we look at this is that the reason that we have denominations is that there's a lot of disagreement about what goes on in the rings. But one of the biggest problems that we have is that a lot of us, and Presbyterians are not accepted from this list, try to take things that belong in those outer rings and jam them into that bullseye. So what is in the bullseye? I told Mary Cam and Zach Shaw that I was just going to get up and not even preach a sermon. I was just going to get up and say, why do we have denominations? I don't know. Presbyterians are the best. Let's pray. And I forgot to tell that joke, and I'm kind of mad about it. What's in the bullseye? Not as much as you might think, first of all. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, basically 5 things. And there are 5 big things that can be unpacked into smaller things, but the 5 things that go in the bullseye. And these are 5 things that we don't negotiate on. The first one is that we believe in one God. We are monotheist. I get that from Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. We don't believe in multiple gods. The God of the pew and the God of the aisle and the God of the fruit and the God of, no. Or that everything is God. We're not pantheists. We believe in one God. One God. We're monotheists. It's a non-negotiable. Second thing related to that is we believe in a triune God. And this confuses a lot of people, all right? But we believe in one God, 3 persons, one nature, all right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. Jesus gets ready. It's the Great Commission. A lot of us have heard it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. The Trinity is a non-negotiable. We even named our church Trinity to show you how much we care about it. It's a non-negotiable. You cannot have saving faith in Jesus Christ if you don't believe, if you don't believe in the Trinity. And why is that? Well, thirdly, Christ himself. Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son in that equation, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One, that he is God. That he was and is divine. That he is from eternity and to eternity. In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. That's a pretty bold statement. Me and God, we're one. But not only that he was and is divine, eternally divine, but also that he was raised from the dead. You can't be a Christian and not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, Paul says, and if Christ is not, this is 1 Corinthians 15:14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So, monotheism, the Trinity, and specifically about the Trinity, the second thing is Christ, all right, the person and work, the resurrection of Christ. Then, fourthly, the gospel. And I'll break that down into 2 things. One is that salvation by grace, and also salvation through faith. That we're not saved, that our salvation doesn't come through anything that we've done, but that it has to come through grace. And this is in a ton of places. Probably the most common place to find it is Ephesians 2:8-10. Well, 8-9. For it is by grace you are saved. He says it. And it's not of works. It's not of yourself. Paul's very explicit. And then Hebrews 11:1 is a great place where the writer of Hebrews, not Paul, talks about faith, and it's the hall of faith, and he talks about what faith is. That's assurance of things, it's assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things unseen. I might have flipped those back and forth. I should have written that one down. But then he goes on to talk about by faith, all these different people did these things. All right. So salvation by grace and salvation through faith. These are non-negotiable. If you think that you can earn your way to heaven, and if you think that somehow your relationship with God won't require any faith, or if it doesn't come through faith, then you are not a Christian. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. Those are the non-negotiables. Now, some of you are thinking right now, well, what about this or what about that? All those things that you're thinking about are important. But what is the bare minimum that someone has to believe to be a Christian? He or she has to believe in the deity of Christ, that there is a God, one God, That he sent his son to die on the cross, that he was raised from the dead, and that you can receive, because of that, you can receive salvation by grace through faith. There you go. And I'm not making this up. Many people have said, this is the bullseye. And this is where we have to separate from other people. All right? This separates us from a lot of people. It separates us from people like Muslims, Jews, Buddhists. These are people who don't hold that bullseye. But it also separates us, and those are kind of obvious because they're other religions, but it also separates us from people who talk a lot about Jesus. People like Jehovah's Witnesses who don't believe in the Trinity. That's not a denomination. That's a cult. All right? Because they don't believe in that bullseye. The Church of Latter-day Saints, or commonly known as Mormons. Yet again, separate. They don't believe in salvation by grace through faith. And so those are not denominations. Those are not Christian churches. They talk about Jesus, but they're not Christians. Because again, you got to have a good foundation to build a building. And if you don't have the foundation, it's not going to stand. And the foundation I've just listed, that's the bullseye. But what about all the other stuff? What about all... There's so many things that we could talk about. I just made a list. Who can partake of the Lord's Supper? And how often should we partake of the Lord's Supper? Once a quarter? Every week? Once a month? Twice a month? Who do we baptize? And how do we baptize? Do we sprinkle them? Do we dunk them? How should our church be organized? Should we have elders and deacons or just elders? What are we going to emphasize? Are we going to emphasize God's sovereignty, or are we going to emphasize man's will? What about like tongues and prophecy? Do we believe those things have stopped or that they're still going on? And how are we going to handle that? What do we believe about Israel? Like the nation of Israel? Or related to that, what do we think about eschatology, which is a 10-cent term for the end times and how the world is going to end and Jesus come back? What do we believe about that? What kind of music should we listen to in this service? Like, should we have like rock music and stage lighting, or should we do it, you know, with organs only, or should we not even have accompaniment? These are questions that people are asking all the time. And I'm sure as I'm saying those things, you're thinking, oh, well, that denomination does that, or that denomination does that. Can I tell you that all of those things are not in the bullseye? They're important things, but they are not in the bullseye. And here is why it's important for us to recognize that. It's because in good conscience, we are free in Christ to disagree on those things. We are free in Christ to disagree on all that list that I just made. We're not free in Christ to disagree about the deity of Jesus Christ. We're not free in Christ to disagree about salvation by grace through faith. What did Patrick talk about this morning? Right? He was talking about freedom in Christ. It's so funny. I felt like he was kind of stealing my thunder. So thanks, Patrick. But we're not free in Christ to disagree on those things. But we are free in Christ to disagree about what kind of music we use or how we baptize people. It's okay. Here's what I want to tell you. It's okay. It's okay that we're different. It's okay. I'm going to do really well on time, so I thought about not telling the story, but I will tell it. I knew a guy. I'm going to change his name because he's from Alabama, so there's like an off chance someone knows him here. So I knew a guy named Ted in college, and Marty knew him too. And here's what you need to know about Ted. Ted was super good looking and super athletic. And he was the kind of good looking, he was also really smart, but he was the kind of good looking that like told you that he was smart. Like he had kind of like long wavy hair and he always wore glasses. And he was just like, and even some, Marty has told me that the girls refer to him as Hot Ted. But Ted got carried away, in myths and legends about the Bible. First of all, he went off on this, Harold Camping situation, where he was convinced that the church age had ended, and I don't know if you know anything about this guy, but he's predicted the world's going to end, or Jesus is coming back, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times, and guess what? He hasn't been right yet, so he's still waiting to be right on that one. But Ted got carried away with that, and then I ran into Ted randomly about a year or two ago, and he said he wanted to get together, and so we found a time to get together, and we had lunch. And I was like, hey, man, how are you doing? I was like, the last time that we talked, you were really into this Harold Camping thing. And Ted was like, oh, I was so silly to be involved in that. Like, I've grown past it. I was like, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I was like, are you going to church? I said, yeah, because I'm going to this really small church. He was like, let me tell you about it. And then he went into this long spiel. All right. He got a piece of paper out. He drew a chart. There's all these things. And he had traded one crazy thing for another crazy thing. He's always looking for the very right thing, the thing that was the right thing. Everyone else is wrong, it's the right thing. And I looked at him, and I was like, have you tried being Baptist? I know there are a lot of them, but just, have you tried? Here's how we're going to apply the truth of the gospel here. The first thing is that no denomination has cornered the market on the gospel. Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, if they believe the core essence of the gospel, no denomination, all of us are going to have our theology corrected. I know it's hard for us to hear that, because what are Presbyterians? We're the ones who think that we've got the theology. But we don't put God in a box. And no denomination, there is no perfect church. That's what I think my friend Ted was looking for. He's just looking for that perfect church, where they were right and they got everything sorted out. And it doesn't exist. This church, as much as I love it, is not perfect. It's not. And the problem is you guys. If y'all would just quit being sinners and I could quit being a sinner, then everything would be good. So let's do, no. There's no perfect church. There is no, and no denomination has cornered the market on the truth of the gospel. And it's okay that we disagree. And it's good that we disagree. It's good. When I was in college, I was a finance major. You'd never guess that by looking at my bank account skills. But I was a finance major. And I remember I take this really, like, a high-level finance course. And this crazy professor, I loved him. He was really entertaining, but also his tests were impossible. And I went to his office one time to try to get some extra help, just because I didn't understand how bonds worked. And it's bad to tell you that I majored in finance, and I probably still don't understand it. But on his door, he had a picture of like 100 white sheep, like walking one way, and then one black sheep walking the other way. And it said on the bottom, it said, where everyone thinks alike, no one is thinking. And I might argue a little bit on that. I don't know if that's always the case, but it stuck with me. Every time I went to his office, it was there. And I want to suggest to you that where we disagree with other denominations, first of all, you should know what we believe, what the PCA believes and what Trinity believes. You should know that. But where we disagree with it, there's room for it. And it's good, because iron sharpens iron. It's not a bad thing. All right. And the problem is that, and this is the kind of situation with the schools too, is that we are so insecure about our own decisions and our own life and where we go to church, and we're so unsure about what we believe, that anyone who disagrees with us, we take as some kind of offense, and we have to get our knives out and, you know, cut them up so that we can prove it's okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, let me read you something. The big thing for them was food and idols. Food that had been sacrificed to idols. And this is what Paul says. He says, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge, in quotes, puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. If you think you've got it figured out, then you haven't got it figured out. That's what Paul just said. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge. And he goes on to say that some, through their association with the idols, they can't eat this food that's been sacrificed to idols. In their conscience, they can't do it. And other people who haven't maybe got the history with the idols, they're just like, I don't care, it's just me. I'm just eating and I believe in Jesus. And he's saying that these two groups, it's okay that they have a difference about this thing. That they should, I'll use an Alabama term, that they should jee-haw, even though they disagree. And you can disagree with someone without dismissing them or disrespecting them. And it's okay for us to disagree. So our application, the first is that we are free to disagree. There are other denominations and it's fine. And they represent our differences. Many of the differences that I listed in those outer ring questions. The second thing is that no denomination has cornered the market on the gospel. Like, there's not one that's like, well, there. In fact, I'll tell you that one reason to be suspicious of a church, and this is common with all cults, by the way, is that they always say, we're the ones who have the truth and no one else has it. And the confidence that we should have in our theology and our understanding of the gospel is that we can look at people who disagree with us and say, just like George Whitefield said of John Wesley, he said, I won't see John Wesley in heaven because he'll be so much closer to the throne than I will be. There's someone who understands. So how are we going to turn this into a sermon? Well, I'm going to quote Stephen Covey. He wrote The 7 Habits of People Who Aren't Me and of Highly Effective People. And he said, one of his quotes is, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Why are there so many denominations? Well, a lot of different kind of people meet Jesus Christ at the cross from different cultures and different backgrounds. I just wrote down a few. Mary Magdalene, the thief who died beside Christ, bold Peter and doubting Thomas, the Hebrew all-star Paul and the Ethiopian eunuch, Luke, the meticulous doctor, James and John, the hot-headed fisherman, Lazarus, he died twice, Elijah, he never died. All these people, they come to the cross and there at the cross, the ground is level. And they're different people. And on the essentials, they are united. They believe in Christ. They believe that he's Messiah. They believe that he died and that because of God's grace and mercy toward us, that we can be reconciled toward him. But they might disagree about a lot of different things, and that is okay. I'll tell you one more thing before I close. One, I will say this, is that I chose to be Presbyterian for a reason, and I do think Presbyterians are awesome. So this is not a sermon about how it's just, it doesn't matter what denomination you're in. I hope that's not what you take away. But our denominational differences are not what draw people into these pews. Y'all know that, right? Like, I hope that you guys aren't out in Vine Pillar Church and being like, dude, we follow the Ordo Salutis hardcore. You're going to love it. you're not. All right. What is it that draws people? It's the same thing that draws people to any good church. It's that they come to be fully known and fully loved. This church, and I've probably said this before from this pulpit, but I'll say it again. This church should be like Alcoholics Anonymous. At Alcoholics Anonymous, okay, there is no pride. There's no looking down your nose. Everyone who shows up at Alcoholics Anonymous has showed up there because they have ruined their life with alcohol. And they all stand up before they say anything and say, hello, my name is whatever, I'm an alcoholic. No one looks around at each other and is like, well, I'm better than him, or I'm better than him, or I've got my life together. And everyone says, that's what this is. This is what brings people. I'll tell you, that's what's happening at this church. I have kids who say to me, I don't really want to live in Montgomery when I'm older, but if I do, the only reason I want to is because I've been loved here at Trinity Church. That's a direct quote from a student like last week. This is what draws people in. It's a real interaction with Jesus Christ. All those theological things, they're very important, okay? They're very important. But let's not spend so much time arguing about how we break the bread that we forget to feed the starving people outside. Why do we have so many denominations? We have so many denominations because God saves a bunch of different kind of people. And that's okay. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we know that we can never be one with you through theological acumen, through getting our lives in order. Lord, we know that those things, all those ideas of how we've got things figured out and other people don't, those things will fade away. Lord, what we need to see, what we pray that you would show us, is Jesus Christ. That you would show us our sin, and that you wouldn't leave us there in our sin, but that you would show us a God who knows us, who knows all the bad stuff in us that we haven't even figured out yet. And yet, Lord, loves us anyway. Lord, show us Jesus Christ. Make us more like him and less like ourselves. I pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen.